Good morning and welcome to the California. Oops, not quite. Okay. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting. And could we have the clerk please call the roll?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Bloom.
Here.
Commissioner Parker.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Present.
Commissioner Mercurimi.
Present.
Commissioner Schallenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Wine.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And then let's go to the staff to go over any changes in the agenda.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. First up for the audience, if you wish to speak on an item on today's agenda, please fill out a speaker slip, and those are located on the table just outside the meeting room. When you're in the meeting room, please turn off all cell phones and other wireless devices as they interfere with our webcast. Next, I will go over for the changes on today's agenda. And starting on page 13, there are no changes on page 13. Moving on to page 14, item 8A, the Caltrans application, move to consent. Item 8C, Department of Beaches and Harbors, Los Angeles County, move to consent. Moving on to page 15, item 10A, UCSB Notice of Impending Development, that is postponed. And that concludes the changes for today's agenda.
All right. Thank you, staff. And we have some public comment speakers. And we're going to start with those. And the first is Christy Bernie Ryman.
Chair Neely.
Madam Chair.
If I could just remind people, we don't have a court reporter again. Our reporter's equipment was stolen. She's here. She's taking notes, but it's not quite the same. So if I could ask you to, in order to have a clear record, if everybody could speak clearly into the microphone, identify yourself for the record. Please spell your name if you want it to be spelled correctly. Please try not to talk over one another. Talk one at a time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Do 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name's Christy Bernie Riemond, and you can spell it K-R-I-S-T-I. Last name, we'll just go with Riemann, R-I-E-M-A-N. And I work with Environmental Defense Center, and I'm the Marine Conservation Analyst for them. I get to work on all things marine and coast and ocean, which is great. And we are a nonprofit public interest law firm. We work to protect and enhance the local terrestrial and marine environment. And we work mostly in Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Ventura counties. I'm here today to talk to you about the topic of ocean acidification. As you may remember, last year, Shiva Palefka, who is my predecessor at EDC, came to speak to the commission about this emerging topic. And I'm here just today to give you an update on the work that EDC has been doing and what's been going on in the local region. So it's been a year and a lot has happened. What I'd like to do is just start really quickly by giving a reminder of what ocean acidification is and why it's a potential problem. The world's oceans are becoming more acidic, and this is from absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And our oceans have absorbed about 22 million tons of carbon dioxide each day. And as a result, the surface waters of our oceans have become about 30% more acidic since the industrial age. And the reason that ocean acidification is a problem is that it impairs the ability of marine animals to build their shells. And so these include corals, shellfish, abalone, organisms like that, and they need to build these protective shells to survive. And so another important development is there's been a recent scientific study that shows that our ocean waters just off the Pacific coast are actually showing unprecedented levels of ocean acidification, and this is because our region is exposed to upwelling in the area. So I'd like to just provide you with a couple updates. A year ago, we launched an effort to develop a report, and it's titled Ocean Acidification and the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary, Cause, Effect, and Response. And this report basically examines the existing scientific body of knowledge on ocean acidification, talks about the chemistry of why these changes are occurring, biological impacts, and ecosystem effects. And one of the main things this report does is it provides recommendations to managers about steps they can take to reduce ocean acidification and to study it. And so we're pleased to report that several sanctuaries, national marine sanctuaries, have adopted this report and are moving forward with recommendations in it. This includes the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary, Gulf of the Farallones, Monterey Bay, and Humpback Hawaii marine sanctuaries. And we're really excited about this report because it actually started a wave of awareness within the sanctuary program about ocean acidification. And so just last month, we had all 13 National Marine Sanctuaries report on adopting this report and moving forward with recommendations. So we're pleased that this has gotten national attention now, and we'll be working with the National Marine Sanctuaries to implement recommendations in this report. So right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ian Hogan, followed by Michelle Hoffman.
Good morning, commissioners. My name's Ian Hogan. I'm that was quick. Can I start?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning. My name's Ian Hogan. It's spelled I-A-N. Last name H-O-G-A-N. I'm an intern at Environmental Defense Center, and I'm here regarding Goleta Beach 2.0. I would like to start by thanking you for your decision in July 2009 against the controversial Goleta Beach pile grind. This hard structure would have trapped sand and caused downcoast beach and bluff erosion. The county is now moving in a much better direction and is pursuing a project along the lines of what EDC, Surfrider, and our engineers at Phil Williams and Associates recommend. The new project, Goleta Beach 2.0, is a park reconfiguration alternative. It is a compromise that moves important structures currently in the erosion zone out of harm's way. It relocates the western parking area and expands the beach by an acre. It also moves utility lines further inland. There is, however, one way to make the proposal much better in terms of avoiding impacts to the shoreline. The proposed project does not move the utility lines as far inland as EDC and Surfrider would like, and still may include a buried backstop revetment, basically a seawall of rocks in front of the utility lines. Our experts say that in time, this revetment would damage the beach. We oppose the buried backstop revetment, but we support the county's basic approach. We support a solution that moves the utility lines further inland, so the revetment will not be necessary, and we are working with the county to try to accomplish this goal. The backstop revetment can be eliminated from the project while still protecting the park and utility lines. Goleta Beach 2.0 is already a compromise. It extends the revetment in front of the Goleta Sanitary District wastewater outfall. The backstop revetment would undermine this compromise. The county should move the utility lines back to Highway 217, or close to it, so the backstop revetment would not be needed. In closing, EDC and Surfrider are still working on the Goleta Beach issue. We are cooperating with the county, and we hope to come before you in the future to support Goleta Beach 2.0 project. On a related note, while the commission denied Santa Barbara County's permeable pile growing structure last year in a 9-1 vote, findings have yet to be issued. My final request is to please direct your staff to finalize these findings for adoption as soon as time permits and provide them to the county. Thank you for your consideration.
Next speaker is Michelle Hoffman.
My name is Michelle Hoffman. I live at 607 Lighthouse Way, Port Hueneme, in Surfside 3, approximately 200 feet from the J Street Drain, which feeds into the Ormond Beach Lagoon. I am here as a private citizen and to give a heads up regarding the reconfiguration of the J Street Drain. The DEIR was withdrawn in March 2010, and the next one is scheduled out in another month. Last summer, a neighbor accidentally learned of the project on the J Street Drain by the Ventura County Watershed Protection District that has been ongoing for 4 years. The project involves a widening, deepening, and changing of the configuration of the J Street Drain for the purpose of accommodating a 100-year flood. The district is moving forward even though the FEMA standard flood determination is that the area is a no-flood area and no flood insurance is required. We are concerned about increasing the standing water this project will create, adding to the mosquito problem we have suffered since the pump house was installed at the end of Bubbling Springs at the J Street drain. During the ongoing project, the Watershed Protection District has failed to contact the residents at Surfside 3, even though this project will infringe upon an easement inside our property line. I attended an information meeting at the Port Hueneme City Hall where I gave my name, address, phone number, and email. There was no notice in my mailbox for the March 17th meeting, just word of mouth from concern to neighbor to neighbor. Enclosed in the handouts I have passed on is a postcard that was sent to some of the Surfside 3 residents. The card is postmarked March 13th to announce the cancellation of a meeting scheduled on March 17th. The card did not arrive until the day of the canceled meeting. There was no notification announcing the meeting, just the cancellation notice. The neighbor who received the card has not attended any meetings or given his contact information. On the other hand, those of us who signed up to receive information have not received any notices. I am requesting that you keep a close eye on this project located within a mile of the Halico Superfund site, bordered by Port Hueneme residents on one side and our beautiful Ormond Beach on the other side.
All right, thank you. Bob Banfield?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Bob Banfill. That's B-A-N-F-I-L-L. I also live at 607 Lighthouse Way, Port Hueneme. I'm here today to voice concern again about the J Street Canal drain, which is in the Oxnard area. It's a project by the Ventura County Watershed Protection District. It does drain into the Ormond Beach along with the Oxnard Industrial Drain and the Bubbling Springs Creek. I am concerned that this area needs an inclusive plan, not one item at a time, that will help manage the water content and control in the Ormond Beach area. The Oxnard Industrial Drain is years away, apparently, from being addressed. We've had recent flooding down there, and the draft EIR was recalled recently, as Michelle mentioned, due to inadequate emergency procedures where they had to breach the lagoon in order to save flooding in the water processing, Oxnard water processing area. My major concerns is the current draft EIR does not address all water input to the Ormond Beach. It leaves long-term residual water in the area for additional mosquito protection. So when this does come before your board, I ask you to look at it in great depth and address the whole area rather than one piece at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, and that's the end of our public comment time. So we'll go to staff and start with South Coast District.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First item up is item number 4, and these are the consent calendar permits for the Los Angeles County Ports and South Coast District. And staff is not aware of any opposition to the one permit application on the consent calendar. Recommends the commission vote and approve the consent calendar.
All right. Thank you. Any ex partes on the consent calendar? Seeing none, is there any? Can we get a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the commission approves the consent calendar.
The next item is item 5, and this is a deputy director's report for the Los Angeles County portion of South Coast District. And this is a list of the waivers and immaterial amendments and immaterial extensions for the county. And again, staff is not aware of any opposition to any of the items in the district director's report and recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination.
All right, thank you, staff. Any objection to concurrence? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
The next item up is item number 6, and these are the regular calendar items. Staff is recommending we move to the consent calendar, and staff is recommending 2 regular calendar items we move to the consent calendar. And those items are item 8A, the Caltrans application, and item 8C, the Los Angeles County Department of Beaches and Harbors application. And again, staff recommends the commission vote and approve these items.
All right, so that's items 8A and 8C. I see no speaker slips on those items. But first, I need to ask if there are any ex partes. Sorry. Any ex partes on these two consent items? Okay, seeing none, commissioners. Oh, wait a minute. We do have some speaker slips. All right, thank you. With regard to 7A, they're here to answer any questions. And with regard to 8, I assume that you're pleased that it's on the consent calendar, Mr. O'Brien.
Still on the
yes, it was moved to the consent calendar, Mr. O'Brien. I assume you want to keep it there?
Yes, please.
All right. So thank you for clarifying that. So. Right. This just says 8, so. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you for the clarification. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right. We have a motion, do we? Commissioner Secord? And a second by Commissioner Mercurimi to pass the consent calendar. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
The next item is item 7A, and this is a substantial issue hearing on an appeal of a City of Manhattan Beach coastal development permit to increase the parking meter fees on public streets from $1.25 per hour to $1.50 per hour. It also includes the installation of 4 new parking meters on street parking spaces and extend the hours of the parking meters from 9 a.m. in the morning, from 9 a.m. to 8 a.m. in the morning, and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. at night. The appellant in this case is William Victor, and the applicant is the City of Manhattan Beach. Staff is recommending the commission find no substantial issue exists in this case with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. Now, excessive parking rates can have an adverse impact on public access. However, in this case, the parking fee increase is very modest and in line with other parking meter fees in Southern California communities. For example, the commission approved rate for public meters in Long Beach is $2 per hour. City of Santa Monica is around $1 an hour, and Venice area is $2 in the summer months and $1 in the winter months. In January of 2009, the commission found no substantial issue on an appeal issued by the city for the same parking fee increase, and Mr. Victor was the appellant in that case, and again, the commission found no substantial issue for that increase. That permit is still alive for the increase, but the city added two components, the extension of the hours and the 4 parking meters, so they issued a new permit. So that's really the only difference to this case. Now, the 4 new parking meters are in front of some commercial uses on 12th Street in the downtown commercial area, and the 2-hour parking is to encourage a turnover of cars in the commercial area. Now, the city indicates that there are more than 300 parking spaces within 4 blocks of the beach where parking is allowed for at least 10 hours. And therefore, the additional 4 meters, we don't think will have any significant impact on public access. The extension of the hours of the metered parking from 9 a.m. in the morning and then 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. in the evenings, in staff's opinion, will not significantly impact coastal access to the shoreline for the general public, and other jurisdictions have similar time hours on their meters in the area. Now, the appellant in this case has submitted 2 letters and some emails that are included in your addendum packet, and in his correspondence, he asserts the commission staff did not note that the local CDP would extend the hours for the parking meter enforcement. Now, this is true. The staff report did not note the extension of the parking meter hours. This change was not included in the final action notice submitted to the commission's district office, and staff was not aware of that change until this week. However, the city notes that in their response to Mr. Victor's email and letters, the increase in the hours of operation was added by the city council at the public meeting on this project, and that the minutes for the council meeting, which Mr. Victor attended, clearly reflect the change to the hours of the parking meter enforcement. Therefore, it's clear that the appellant was aware of this change in the parking meter hours. In addition, he did not specifically raise this issue in his original appeal on this permit. Now, the city has indicated there are many additional unmetered parking spaces that are available in the city in the city's coastal zone, and the meters are only in the commercial areas in the paid parking in the public lots is 75 cents. So there are many opportunities for pedestrians and bicyclists to either park free or at very limited cost with no time limits and then walk or ride on the bike path in the city of Manhattan Beach. Therefore, the proposed increase in the parking fee and the other minor changes to the parking program in the city, in our view, are not significant to merit a finding of substantial issue in this case. Staff's opinion, the approved project is consistent with the policies of the LCP, and the contentions raised by the applicant, again, do not raise substantial issue. The motion for no substantial issue can be found on page 6 of the staff report, and that concludes my presentation on this item.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check to see if we have any ex parte communications on item 7A, starting on my left. Okay, seeing none. Are there three or more commissioners that object to the finding of substantial issue?
This is no substantial issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have to have a
sorry.
Hearing.
We have no speaker slips, so we'll bring it back to the commission then.
Well, yeah, that's the city representative is here and is available for questions, I believe.
I'm available if you have any questions.
Is the appellant in the audience, Mr. Victor? No.
Okay. Right. Vice Chair is indicating that she has no speaker slips, so. Yeah, let's refer to the.
Would you like me to read the motion, Madam Chair?
Motion for this item is on page 6. Commissioner Mercurimi is moving that we determine that the appeal raises no substantial issue with respect on which the grounds have been filed, and he's recommending a yes vote.
Second.
And the second is by Commissioner Shajian. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby finds that appeal number A5MNB-10-054 raises no substantial issue regarding the consistency with a certified local coastal plan. Thank you.
Thank you. The next item is item 8B, and I have a PowerPoint for this item, if you could pull that up real quickly. This is 8B, City of L.A. There you go. The 8B, the applicant is the City of Los Angeles, and the proposed project is located in San Pedro in the City of Malibu. I mean City of Los Angeles. I can't get Malibu out of my mind. The existing bluff top parking lot, which the project is located on, is adjacent to and east of Pacific Street, which terminates near the edge of the coastal bluffs in San Pedro, and it runs perpendicular to the to Pacific Street. The surrounding area is developed with single-family and multifamily residential development, as you can see in this slide. The applicant is proposing to convert the bluff top 24-space surface parking lot into a public coastal overlook park with raised 2-foot and 2.5-foot high wooden viewing platforms, benches, landscaping with drought tolerant and non-invasive plants. They have some runoff improvements, a reconfiguration of the southern terminus of Pacific Street to provide for an adequate turning radius down there in a little cul-de-sac, and then add 10 parking spaces fronting the park, as you can see in the slide here. The $750,000 project is being funded by the Coastal Conservancy through the project sponsor, the Los Angeles Harbor Watts Economic Development Corporation, which is a nonprofit community benefit organization in San Pedro. Now, as you can see on this site, the existing parking lot is used as a coastal overlook, and the parking lot is not heavily used. Visitors to the lot generally spend only a short period of time at the site to have lunch or just for some sightseeing, and demand is usually limited to 5 to 7 cars at any one time. The limited demand is due to the fact that the existing parking lot is sort of isolated. It does not provide direct beach or recreational access anywhere down to the beach. And the proposed new 10-space parking spaces added along the street, in our view, will be sufficient to support the visitors for this new view park. to ensure that the new on-street parking is available to visitors, the 10 spaces will be restricted to 2 hours between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. on a daily basis. Now, the primary issue in this case is the visual impact of an as-built 5 to 8 foot high wrought iron fence along the bluff edge. Now, the fence currently obscures and, in our view, degrades the ocean views as seen from the parking lot and from Pacific Avenue. The fence was installed by the city without benefit of a coastal development permit. Now, according to the city, the purpose of this fence is to prevent people from climbing over the fence and entering the adjacent area known as Sunken City, which is located to the left on this slide. The Sunken City area is a city-owned vacant area, and approximately 9 acres in size, that was once developed with residential development. In the 1920s, there was a series of landslides that destroyed this area and the residential area, and they abandoned the area and fenced the area off. And it's very unstable and a very unsafe area. In 1988, the commission granted the city a coastal development permit for an 8 foot high wrought iron fence that ran behind these homes here, if I can, that thing's really touchy, and extends off the slide here. But this portion is 8 foot high fence is approved by the commission in 88 to prevent access from Pacific Street behind these homes, and there's some open space off to the left. Now, the city indicated that the Sunken City area represents a attractive nuisance, and people go to great lengths to access this area. And again, this is a very dangerous area, and there have been many people injured, and there have been several fatalities in this area. In addition, the city has been sued numerous times for not adequately securing this area. The city has already lost one lawsuit and has some 10 pending lawsuits, staff had told me, in this area alone. Now, staff was originally recommending the entire fence be dropped down to 42 inches surrounding the entire park area. Now, the city's agreement to reduce the height of the fence along this bluff edge to 42 inches, but they are not willing to drop the 8 foot high fence to Sunken City area down to 42 inches. They feel that area is so hazardous that the 8 foot high fence is warranted. And as a compromise in recognizing the extraordinary hazards here, staff is recommending a revision to our special condition 2 that will allow for the retention of the 8 foot high fence adjacent to the Sunken City area, and then a 42-inch fence on the primary viewpoint on the high bluff, as you see in this slide. And that 8 foot high fence is consistent with this 8 foot high fence previously approved by the commission. Here's just some ground shots of the looking to the west. This is the 8 foot high dropping down to the existing 5 foot high, which will be down to a 42-inch. This is looking off to the east. Again, here's just a shot of that parking lot. And this is the existing 5 foot high fence. And in the background, you can see the 8 foot high. This is the 8 foot high fence adjacent to the Sunken City area. It's pretty imposing with big spikes and all. These lights here at the end of Pacific Street will be removed, and this area will be reconfigured, and some parking will be on that area. So that concludes my presentation. The motion for approval can be found on page 2 of the staff report.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first see if there are any ex parte communications from commissioners, starting on my left. Okay, seeing none. We do have a speaker slip, Frank O'Brien. Mr. O'Brien. How much time would you like, sir?
I won't need very much, thank you.
3 minutes be all right?
Yes, fine, thanks. Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I represent the nonprofit organization that's the local grantee for the Coastal Conservancy Funds for the project. And we're in agreement with the staff report as amended, with half of the site being retrofitted to a lower fence, with the Sunken City site remaining. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I think it was well covered in the presentation.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's fine. I'll bring it back then to the commission. Commissioner Wan?
Just a quick question on the 8-foot-high fence. It's pretty imposing. The vertical elements are pretty close together. Isn't there a way to at least open that up, still make the distance a little greater so that the views are better?
Mm-hmm. Actually, those are six-inch spacings between those, which is a little larger, actually, than typical building codes.
Okay.
It's usually 4 inches. So in this case, it's actually a little wider.
If it's
as wide as
you can. Obviously, you have to do it within code, so... for safety reasons.
All right. Commissioner Sanchez?
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 5-09-190 pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommended yes vote.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Commissioner Sanchez, a second by Commissioner Secord. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as conditioned and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Just to say that I think that staff did a great job on this.
All right. Commissioner Secord?
Concur.
Okay, great. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development. Thank you.
The next item up is item 9A, and Steve Hudson, the South Central Coast District Manager, will be presenting this item.
All right. Thank you, staff.
And we have a PowerPoint for that item.
Good morning, commissioners. This next item is 9A, City of Santa Barbara, LCP Amendment 2-09, a request from the city to amend both the land use plan and coastal zoning ordinance portions of its certified local coastal program to, first, change the land use plan designation for an approximately 1.5-acre area from public institution to a residential designation, and two, within a 0.87-acre portion of that same 1.5-acre area, change the zoning designation from parks and recreation to a residential designation. Next slide, please. The approximately 1.5-acre area subject to this amendment crosses three separate lots that are 10.4 acres in total size, located at 210 Miggs Road and 216 Miggs Road and 290 Lighthouse Road. Staff could make this shorter. Within the Mesa area of the City of Santa Barbara. Staff is recommending approval of the amendment as submitted. The primary purpose of the proposed changes is to facilitate a redivision of land between a school district and an adjacent private property owner that would serve to allow for the clustering of new residential development adjacent to other existing residentially developed properties to the north of the subject area, and also to allow the Washington Elementary School, shown here on this slide, to reconfigure and expand their existing school parking facilities onto a portion of what is now a privately owned parcel immediately abutting the western property line of the campus, shown here at 210 Miggs Road. The reconfigured school parking lot would also serve a secondary function, providing a spatial buffer between the new residential development on the adjacent property and the existing school facilities and buildings. Specifically, the redivision of land would be implemented through a separate pending coastal permit application process through the city, which would involve reconfiguration of these three existing subject parcels, including the 8.31 Washington Elementary School parcel, the privately owned 1.23-acre vacant parcel at 210 Miggs Road, and the 0.87-acre parcel at 216 Miggs Road, currently owned by the school district and developed with an existing overflow parking area. To accommodate this redivision, the city is proposing to change the land use plan designation for the approximately 1.5-acre area that correlates to the footprint of the lot at 216 Miggs Road. This 1.5-acre area correlates to the footprint of the lot at 216 as it is proposed to be reconfigured from major, public, and institutional, shown here on this slide in the white outline, to a residential designation allowing 5 units per acre, consistent with the adjacent neighborhood residential areas. In addition, the proposed amendment also includes a change to the zoning ordinance and map for a 0.87 acre of the subject site to change its zoning designation from Parks and Recreation, shown on this slide in green, to a residential designation, allowing for the future subdivision and development of the reconfigured parcel with 5 residences and a subdivision. The same density allowable on the privately owned parcel in its current configuration and location further to the south. It is important to note that the designation of land as public park land is considered a higher priority use than private residential development pursuant to the coastal resource protection policies of both the Coastal Act and the city's land use plan. Thus, staff has closely evaluated the proposed rezone relative to any potential loss of land that could be feasibly used for parks and recreational uses. In this case, the city has indicated that they have no intention or ability to redevelop the small remnant area in question as a public park at any time in the future, particularly given that the lot is currently developed with an overflow parking lot and owned by the school district. Moreover, the 0.87 area shown here on this slide in green, currently zoned for park use, was originally part of the larger La Mesa Park property located on the opposite western side of Meigs Road and to the south on the opposite side of Shoreline Drive. However, due to a previous reconfiguration of the adjacent roadways in the 1960s, the 0.87-acre area on the subject site became cut off from the larger La Mesa Park property when Meigs Road to the north, shown here, was extended along the western property line of the site in order to connect Shoreline Drive to the south, and also due to the elimination of the southern end of Lighthouse Road, shown here, which previously ran along the eastern property line of the site and which connected to Shoreline Drive. Thus, as a result of these changes, and given the relatively high volume of vehicular traffic along Meigs Road and Shoreline Drive, which makes pedestrian access difficult between existing park areas and the subject site, it is staff's opinion that the proposed amendment would not result in the loss of any land otherwise appropriate for use as public park or for any other areas providing potential public recreational uses. In conclusion, in staff's opinion, the proposed amendment is consistent with the Chapter 3 policies of the Coastal Act and would be adequate to carry out the relevant provisions of the city's certified land use plan. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of this amendment as submitted. The motion for approval may be found on page 5 of the staff report. This concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, staff. Let me check for ex parte communication starting on my left. Okay, see none. We have no speaker slips on this item, and let me just check with the public to see if anyone slip didn't get to the front here. Okay, I don't see anyone. Commissioner Secord.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
There's 2 motions on page 5 and 6.
Is your mic on, sir?
It's on.
Okay.
Can't hear. Maybe I'm not speaking loud enough. I move that the Commission Certified Land Use Plan Amendment SBC MAJ-2-09 as submitted by the City of Santa Barbara and ask for a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Shajian. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, ma'am. I worked on this a bit when I was on the City Council 100 years ago. It's a well-done project. Staff's done a good job.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Shajian?
Concur.
Okay. Any objection to unanimous rule?
Yeah,
oh, I'm
question.
Sorry. Commissioner Schallenberger has a question.
Yeah, I have a question of staff. With this, assuming this passes and assuming the school wants to do something with the parcel of land that they're actually gaining, which I think you said in your presentation they intended to turn into a parking lot, is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
Would that need to come back before us as a...
No, that would be handled by the city through a separate coastal permit.
My concern with this is that I just see us continuing to give a very high priority to making sure that we have adequate land paved over for parking cars on it. I understand that the school is losing, by this deal, they are losing parking spaces. It just concerns me that we're not looking somehow for them to find a better way to get more people onto campus for school hours than everybody driving their own automobile. So I'm not even sure that we have the ability with what's before us to do that. But, you know, this is not developed land that they're getting, and I would just kind of look to you. Is there a way that we can somehow... Schools ought to be working more on getting carpooling and that kind of thing. They have hours that begin at the same time. They end at the same time, minus sports or whatever. And I just hate to see that undeveloped land paved over for the automobile. So I look to you. Is there any way that we can have a do anything about that?
Well, Commissioner Schallenberger, you have... you know, you've consistently made this point, and it's a very good point. I don't think we have the ability to do that in the context of this particular amendment. We can certainly pass on to the school district the concern and urge them to take the steps, if they haven't already, and we don't know that they haven't, take the steps that you're suggesting to minimize the amount of individual car parking and transportation that's used. But I think that's the best we can do in the context of this particular amendment.
Okay, well, I think that would be good. I think they're inheriting, but with this deal, they're getting a really nice piece of undeveloped land that I'm guessing could be used for education, could be used for any number of things, rather than accommodating our automobiles. So thank you.
All right. Commissioner Secor?
Well, this is an infill project, as you know, and the school is an elementary school in a very dense neighborhood area. A lot of kids walk to that school. There are certainly children brought there by their parents, and the school does endeavor, as do all schools, to promote carpooling. The other thing that, because of safety concerns, trying to get kids to walk to school has been a little bit on the downside, and we've tried to overcome that, but it's very difficult because of the safety concerns to accommodate people who would like to, say, for example, take their daily walk and walk to school with some kids, some neighborhood kids in that Pied Piper kind of way.
Commissioner Sancha?
Can I just insert, it's not the kids' cars I'm worried about.
Commissioner Sanchez?
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. This is a highly urban area, open space, parkland, dedicated parkland, or not dedicated, but parkland space is such a rarity, and has such value that I'm reluctant. I understand that there's been a long road to get here, but once it's gone, which is something we always tell ourselves about highly urban areas and the availability of parcels, especially in today's times when school districts are so short of funds and have to deal with looking towards the future and the expansion, the number of kids, and I understand that it's in cycles. You can have less children than more children, and all. It's certainly the policymaker's decision, but this is highly rare land designation in a very urban area. So I'm reluctant, but I understand what's happening here.
All right, thank you, Commissioner.
Madam
Commissioner
Chair.
Blue. Just a minute. Commissioner Blue?
I just wanted to comment briefly on Commissioner Schallenberger's point, which I think is an important one, and perhaps in the future it might be possible for the Commission to look at requiring safe routes to schools programs to be implemented as part of these types of approvals. Santa Barbara probably has such a program, and the commission could just look at the elements that are available and make sure that they're being implemented on an ongoing basis as part of the process.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
Yes, I just wanted to point out Commissioner Sanchez's concern was a concern of ours. The issues, though, on the ground and the facts on the ground are that the city doesn't own this. This is owned by the school district, so the city can't turn it into a park. And it's not being used as a park. It's being used for parking. And so, and it doesn't seem to us that if there ever were a possibility that particular small portion of the school property would be turned into a park. And that's why we recommended approval. We were very concerned about losing potential park space. But under these circumstances, we felt we could recommend it.
And if I could just...
Okay, Commissioner Sanchez.
Briefly respond. We work very closely with our school district, the City of Oceanside, and especially after school programs that are becoming more and more difficult to fund. And after school programs, this would be something that, I mean, even... I would say this is something that we're even looking at now, partnering to get like the Boys and Girls Club onto the campus and things like that. So, I mean, that's where I'm coming from. I understand again that the policymakers are been working on this. I see a conflict. So, thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we have a motion and a second. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Could we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Ashajian?
Aye.
Ashajian, yes. Commissioner Blank?
Yes.
Blank, yes. Commissioner Bloom?
Yes.
Bloom, yes. Commissioner Parker?
Yes.
Parker, yes. Commissioner Secord?
Yes.
Secord, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi?
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Sanchez?
No.
Sanchez, no. Commissioner Schellenberger?
No.
Schellenberger, no. Commissioner Stone?
Yes.
Stone, yes. Commissioner Wan?
No.
One, no. Chair Neely?
Yes.
Chair Neely, yes. The vote is 8 yes, 3 no.
All right, thank you. And we have another motion. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next motion, I move that the Commission reject the City of Santa Barbara Implementation Program Amendment SBC-MAJ-2-09 as submitted and recommended no vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Secord, a second by Commissioner Ashajian. The maker and seconder are recommending a no vote. A no vote will result in certification of the implementation program amendment as submitted and adoption of the findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to that motion?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Ashajian?
No, sir.
Okay. Do we need a roll call vote on this item? Yes.
Same roll call?
Just substitute the previous roll call. Would that be all right with commissioners? All right. Thank you. All right, staff?
All right, that brings us to item number 11A, and this is a reconsideration request. And the applicant is requesting a postponement of this reconsideration. The applicant asserts that they have retained new counsel who needs additional time to prepare a response to the staff report. The applicant's original counsel discovered he had a conflict of interest in this case and could not represent the applicant. Now, staff believes a postponement on this request must be granted by the commission because the commission's regulations require us to bring back reconsiderations at the next regularly scheduled meeting or as soon as practicable. Staff is prepared to move forward with the hearing today. However, it is the commission's call with regard to this postponement request, and you may want to hear from the applicant.
Okay, with regard to the request for postponement, or I guess we call it continuance or postponement?
Well, continuance.
All right.
And I don't think you need to hear from the applicant if the commission's inclined to continue it, but we're just saying
second.
Prepared to proceed.
Madam Chair.
All right. So let me call up either Alan Locke or Norm Haney to address the commission with regard to your request for the continuance. And
thank you, Mr. Madam Chairperson, members of the Commission. My name is Alan Block. I'm representing the applicant. The applicant's original counsel found out this past Monday, that he had a conflict of interest and that one of his prior clients was opposing the amendment request or the extension request. He submitted correspondence to Mr. Ainsworth on Wednesday. I was only retained yesterday. I read the staff report online. I believe that a continuance or a postponement is in order to allow the applicant to have a proper time to prepare for the hearing.
Did you say it? All right. Thank you. So we have a motion.
Madam, shouldn't we just do ex partes before motion?
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead with the ex partes then. Starting on my left, any ex partes?
Yes, Madam Chair. I did have a conversation a couple of days ago with the applicant, and as I did this morning, for the reasons of him requesting a postponement and or continuation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Any other ex partes on the left? Okay, let me say that I had a conversation with Norm Haney this morning to indicate that they would be requesting a continuance for the very same reasons stated by Alan Block in his presentation to the commission. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had an ex parte with Norm Haney on Wednesday this week, and we discussed the project and the history of the project and the mitigation efforts that were being undertaken. And he wanted the continuance, and I told him I would support it.
All right. Commissioner Wan?
Just a question. Question of staff. Does a continuance result in the expenditure of additional funds for this commission?
With regard to sending out notice and things like that, yes. There's not a lot of notice. It's just to the it's just the processing of the reconsideration.
That was the reason we were prepared to proceed, because we wanted to minimize costs. But we'll just recycle the same report.
All right. And we do have a motion on the floor, motion by Commissioner Mercurimi, and I think the second was Commissioner Secord. Is that correct? All right. Any other comments or discussions regarding the motion for continuance? Seeing none, is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? The continuance has been granted.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you, Commissioner.
That brings us to item number 12A, and this is listed in your addendum to your agenda. And these are the revised findings for the City of Malibu LCP Amendment 2-09 for the Crummer Trust parcel. Now, the LCP amendment included both LUP and LIP amendments to delete LUP Policy 2.78 and to modify the requirements of the planned development, land use, and zoning designation to allow for a mixed mix of residential and recreational uses instead of the commercial visitor serving use that was the site was designated as. At the February 11th hearing, the property owner offered to increase their proposed in lieu fee mitigation for the conversion of the property from a visitor serving designation to a residential designation from $750,000 to $2 million. And then to implement this offer, suggested modification 2 has been revised to reflect that change. Based on the commission's concerns that the designated active 1.7-acre recreational use area on the property would primarily serve the local community rather than a larger regional or statewide user group, the commission found that the recreational area on the site should be limited to a passive recreational use rather than an active use. And again, this requirement is also reflected in revised special condition 2. Commission further found that gated residential community would be inconsistent with the character of the area and would create the perception of an exclusive community, and therefore the commission had determined the entry gate should not be allowed along the access road to the residential community. And again, that change is reflected in suggested modification 2. Finally, the commission adopted a provision to suggested modification 2 to effectuate the property owner's offer to dedicate a conservation easement across the approximate 7-acre area of the 24-acre parcel to the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority for habitat protection. This 7-acre area consists of the bluff slopes and canyon drainage areas of the site. And to maximize habitat protection within the easement area, the commission required the property owner shall work cooperatively with the MRCA to minimize fuel modification, identify habitat restoration opportunities, and also the property owner provide adequate funding to the MRCA for the purposes of maintaining this area. Now, staff is recommending adoption of the revised findings as laid out in the commission, the staff report. and only those commissioners on the prevailing side are eligible to vote on revised findings. And those commissioners on the prevailing side are Commissioners Blank, Bloom, Parker, Secord, Kruer, Mercurimi, Schallenberger, Stone, Juan, Akajian, and Chair Neely. Peter has a few words to say about this, these revised findings, and I'll turn it over to Peter.
Yes, Madam Chair, there were a couple of issues that came up after the commission action on this, and one related to whether or not the commission actually amended what was before it to include the prohibition on gates and to ensure that the park area that would be part of this project area would remain as passive park. I indicated, and we indicated several times since, that those changes were incorporated into the staff recommendation. In one instance, Commissioner Juan raised a question about the gates, and I had indicated that, true, we don't normally approve gated communities between the first public road and the sea, and that we would change our staff report to include a prohibition on the gates. And then the second was Commissioner Schallenberger's concern about the park area remaining as a passive park use, and we incorporated that as well. So it didn't require action by the commission specifically on those two components, but they were incorporated into the staff recommendation, and your adoption of the staff recommendation then made them part of your action. Since then, we have had discussions about both of these items. As far as the gates are concerned, when I agreed that we should incorporate those and did incorporate that change into the staff recommendation, I was not aware that this issue had actually been discussed between our staff and the applicant or the property owner, and that also there's no through way here for the public. If you have access here, there's no way to get down to the beach. And so the gate, eliminating the gates really would do nothing in terms of protecting public access. And I thought about it and realized that in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have suggested what I did. It does, of course, have this air of exclusivity, but it doesn't have, as a practical matter, any impact. So we indicated that we would support an amendment to the city's LCP that would eliminate the prohibition on gates here. We also indicated that we would not support an amendment that would convert the parkland from passive to active recreational use. If that's included in an amendment from the city, that would be up to the commission whether or not you want to change that. But in light of change in my and our understanding, well, it wasn't Jack, it was me, understanding that the gates were an issue and now realizing they really aren't and shouldn't have been, and the fact that we have a major benefit coming out of this, I really would urge that the commission support a waiver of the six-month period to come back for an amendment. We support that, and as I indicated, we certainly would recommend support on the gates, but not on the change of the passive recreational use. So that completes my comments. If the commission adopts the findings, which we're recommending, then afterward, if you would address the question of waiving the 6 months, I'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, staff. Let me first check with commissioners on ex parte communication, starting on my left. Commissioner Shashian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On April 12th, in the morning hours, I had a conference call with Robert Gold, Don Andrews, and Edgar Gutierrez about the project in front of us. They noted that they are in full agreement with the revised findings, with the exception of the two outstanding issues, the gates and the dedicated parkland. Most specifically, they indicated that both of these issues were not part of the scope of the LCP amendment per the City of Malibu LCP Policy 2.28. The placement of gates or gatehouses on private easement is allowed under the policy's criteria. It's a summary of our discussion.
What does that say?
Robert Gold. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair. On April 9th at 3:30, I had a conference call with Robert Gold, Donna Andrews, and Edgar Gutierrez. My ex-party was substantively identical to that reported by Commissioner Akachi.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else? Commissioner Parker?
Yes. Madam Chair, on this morning, April 16th at 7:30, I had a meeting with Robert Gold, Donna Andrews, and Edgar Gutierrez. And the substance of the meeting was identical to those of Commissioner Dotchin and Commissioner Bloom.
Blank. On April 9th at noon, I met with Robert Gold and Donna Andrews, and the conversation was similar to that, which has been reported by my colleagues.
All right, thank you. Mr. Stone?
Thank you. I have an ex parte on file, and also on April 12th at 11 a.m., I was on a conference call with Robert Gold, Donna Andrews, Edgar Gutierrez. They mentioned they had two outstanding issues with the revised findings. It was initial conversation was similar to what has been explained earlier. They also said that the issue of the gates, and that if the issue of the gates in the active park don't go their way, then the project probably will not go forward. The city is very interested in having the park be an active public serving park. They're concerned that if it does not remain so, the city may not approve the project. And as to the gates, they feel the economics of the project depend on the gates. They intend to market the houses to celebrities and need to be able to keep the paparazzi away from the homes. they will be able to charge more for the houses with the gates, and that amount makes the other economics provisions work. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Schallenberger.
Thank you. Yesterday afternoon, I had a meeting with Donna Andrews, Robert Gold, and Joyce Parker Boyzielinski. They said they had two outstanding issues, the gate and the park. They wanted to talk about the substance of them as well as the procedure. I indicated that I wasn't particularly interested in talking about the substance since the commission had already taken action and that the hearing today was only on findings. We then went on to procedure. They said that our executive director had misspoke at the hearing and that they had talked about the gates and that they had talked with several commissioners who said had they known if the executive director had told them what was actually accurate, that they would have had changed their vote on it. I suggested to them that I thought it was a mistake to come to this hearing and try and argue that the commission had made the wrong decision on any of these, since in fact it was just a findings hearing. We then moved on to the substance of the park anyway, and they indicated that they had heard me quite clearly at the last meeting that my concern was one of public benefit, not one of community benefit when it came to the parks. They talked about survey they had done about who was using the park currently and found that the vast majority of people in the park are the general public. They felt that there was 550 acres of passive recreation in the Malibu area. They included in that the Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy lands. They felt that there is certainly adequate passive recreation and that the city really wants this ballpark. Robert Gold indicated that he felt that he had three constituents, the City of Malibu, the Coastal Commission, and the Santa Monica Conservancy, and that he had promised to the City of Malibu these ballparks and felt that his word was on the line. I indicated that that his word was that he was acting in good faith toward the city, and in fact the Coastal Commission's authority was indisputable in this, and that he shouldn't feel that he was going back on his word if in fact he couldn't convince the Coastal Commission to change their mind.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. My ex partes are on file and include the same information covered by all the commissioners so far. Commissioner Juan?
Yes. I had an ex parte on Friday with Robert Gold and Donna Andrews. And I typed it all out and unfortunately can't find it, so I'll do my best to remember what was said. Okay. Commissioners have reminded me to some degree. They did indicate that There were two major issues, the gates and the ball fields. They did again try to discuss substance with me, and I said this was findings, it's process only, and I did not want to discuss the substance of anything. It was hard to prevent it from happening. And they said that commissioners didn't really understand that they were voting for this, and that they didn't fully understand that they had voted, for example, not to have gates. And I said I thought it was hard to misunderstand or misinterpret what the statement "no gates" means, and that if it's and that the staff had incorporated it into their modifications, and therefore when they voted for the staff's modifications, they voted for the no gates. They also made the same comments about that the commission was not legally entitled to modify other parts of the LCP, and I said that simply wasn't true. That this amendment was dealing with the a specific project in a specific area, and all of the amendments and modifications that the commission made dealt with that project, and we are not restricted to look at only one aspect of a project when it comes in front of us. They then discussed the passive park area, and I said that and asked me about whether or not about the parking, whether or not the parking about the parking lot, which was not included in the staff modified findings. And I said yes, I had specifically asked that the parking lot be a use that could take place on that property, which is probably a change that should happen to the findings to make that clear. And that the city, I did that because that was very important to both the city and the general public. And that I know that the city wants the parking lot quite badly, and we're justified in that. Let's see. They asked what it was that could be done at this point, and I said they could come back with an LCP amendment, but these were findings. And you can't change what the commission did. It is what it is. And then they also discussed the issue of the 7 acres that was going to the conservancy. And they said that the staff's findings indicate that the entire canyon was to go to the conservancy. And I said I don't have the transcript in front of me, but my recollection was that at least 7 acres was to go to the conservancy, but I didn't believe that there was any specific requirement that the entire canyon went to them. That I thought I had made the had in my discussion had said something to the effect that as long as they would work with the conservancy to get as much of that canyon as possible, that certainly satisfied me. So I believe that was the nature of the discussion, as much as I can remember.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the 9th of April, I had an ex parte phone call with Mr. Gold, Donna Andrews, and Edgar Gutierrez on this subject, the substance of which was identical to what Commissioner Achajan and Blank related, that the issue of the gate and the dedicated parkland, and that the city wanted the ball fields there. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That concludes ex partes then, and we'll go to the hearing on this item. Joyce Parker Bozlaziski is going to speak on behalf of the City of Malibu. Is that correct?
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And how much time?
Just about 2 minutes.
Let's give her three. That goes pretty quick.
Thank you, Chair Neely, members of the Commission. We thank you for approval of our local coastal plan amendment. And as Mr. Douglas has stated, we will be continue to work with staff, and we'll be returning to you to resolve, hopefully to resolve any outstanding issues. And we are asking that you move forward, prove your findings, and the waiver, so that we can again continue working with your staff, and hopefully come back and see you again. Thank
you. All right. Thank you very much. And then we have a couple of other speakers. Okay, I think. Fran Gibson.
Three, I guess.
Good morning, Madam Chair Neely, Honorable Commissioners, Director Douglas, and noble staff. I'm Fran Gibson with Coastwalk, California. I want to stand in full approval of the revised findings. We do want to see the passive recreational park remain for the people of California. It is a more general public use. The city of Malibu can use more, not less, coastal access opportunities for the 35 million people who live in this state. The population density pressures on Southern California are going to be immense, not less. We look forward to this. It will be a beautiful passive recreational park above Surfrider Beach for all the people of our great state. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we appreciate the reference to noble staff.
Thank you. All right. Norm Haney.
Good morning, Chair Neely and Coastal Commissioners. My name is Norm Haney. My offices are at 22741 Pacific Coast Highway. I strongly believe that the property that is being provided by the applicant to the city can be used for both passive recreation as well as active recreation. In fact, the areas that the city has used for active recreation in the past has been used
these
for
passive. These are findings. These are findings, Mr. Haney, so could you give your testimony consistent with the findings?
Findings.
Yeah, the issue you're talking about will probably come back in the future.
Then I have one last sentence. A Shumash Day was enjoyed there, and it was enjoyed by all residents from the state, and they were on the soccer field. I'll look forward to seeing you in the future. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. And then back to the commission with regard to the findings. Do we have a motion? Mm-hmm. We have a no. Commissioner Wong?
I do have a question before we go forward. Do the findings specifically say that a parking lot is acceptable in the area of donation? I didn't see any reference to the possibility of a parking lot being included in that area.
Well, that was part of the that would be allowed within that passive area, because that was part of the overall plan. It was a parking and park passive park, so the parking would still be allowed within that.
Yeah, but it doesn't specifically say that in the modifications, and I was wondering. Mm-hmm. It says that entire area has to be a passive park, and I would think that the findings to be accurate, it should reflect the fact. Specifically reflect
yes,
the fact
we can,
the
we can add, lot. We can add the reference to the parking lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Schallenberger?
I move the commission adopt the revised findings in support of the commission's action on February 11th, 2010, certifying the City of Malibu LCP Amendment Number 2-09-A, if modified as directed by the commission, and request a yes vote.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Schallenberger, a second by Commissioner Wan. Would you like to address the motion?
No, I think the staff have done a fine job at accurately reflecting the Coastal Commission's action.
Okay. Commissioner Wan, would you like to address the commission? No? Commissioner Shahjian.
Yes, Madam Chair. My question on the motion, because I also heard from the Malibu folks that we're coming back, so what are we really doing with this motion? Was there any...
What you're doing here is you're just adopting the findings relative to what the commission did before. To address the two issues that are still out there, they will have to come back in the context of an other amendment to the LCP, and we're going to work with them to accomplish that.
And I believe the city's representative indicated that they supported that.
Okay, I just want to clarify that. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Bloom?
I just want to indicate I was listening in the back.
Okay, thank you.
Just for further clarity, those two issues are the gate issue and the passive versus active park issue. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Parker?
Madam Chair, are we including authorizing and directing the executive director to grant a waiver, even though I recognize he has that inherent authority to do so?
No.
But he asked
no.
that the commission yeah. also address
that. I would suggest you do that after you act on the findings, and we're going to recommend that you do that.
All right. Any other commission comments regarding the findings or the motion on the floor to approve the findings? Okay, seeing none, can we get a show of hands of those in support of the motion, of those that are eligible?
Unanimous.
Unanimous.
All right, thank you. It's unanimous. Mr. Douglas, did you have any other comments?
We would recommend that the commission waive the six-month period to refile an amendment.
Is that
your
motion?
Yeah,
I'll move that.
Second.
Waive the six-month period.
All right, we have a motion by Commissioner Secord, and the second is by Commissioner Ashajian to waive the six-month period. Any objection? Oh,
I just have a question of staff.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. The seconder for the record was Commissioner Bloom. Commissioner Schellenberger?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Madam Chair. Just a question for staff. I understand the waiver for the gates, given that, or we've heard from our executive director that at the time he addressed this, he didn't have full information. I'm curious why we would waive for something that the commission was quite clear on in terms of the ballpark, and we there was nothing new. There's nothing outstanding. And so we don't normally say I'm to a project proponent, I'm sorry you didn't actually like what the commission did, but we'll waive, you know, you can come back whenever you want to ask us to change our minds. And so why are we waiving for the ballpark?
Well, I was asked to put this in front of the commission, and I've done that. And obviously we have no problem with the gate. But we're not going to recommend approval of the passive park. So it's really up to you.
Can we limit this waiver to the issue that we had perhaps not entirely accurate information before us or not?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, that's the Lincoln.
I would like to do that. I just don't want to start the precedent if people don't like our decision when we had we had a full and open hearing on it. We had accurate information before, so if they disagree with it, it isn't a good reason to come back in under 6 months.
Recommending motion.
Yeah, well, we'll just wait here. We have several other commissioners that wish to speak. Commissioner Bloom?
Well, I actually was prepared to address this issue today, and I didn't have clarity on the same clarity as Commissioner Schellenberger on the issue of passive versus active park. And I could go through the details of that, but I don't know why we really need to do that here today. As I understand it, the only discussion here is whether we're going to have these issues now come back at the same time. Because if we waive time for one and not the other, we're going to have two separate hearings. So I think in addition to my personal experience from the prior hearing, I think it's going to be much more economical for our staff and for the commission in terms of the time that gets expended on this if we do it all in one hearing.
All right. We have some other commissioners that wish to speak. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Madam Chair, I was going to make an amending motion based on what Director Douglas had just said through the exchange with Commissioner Schellenberger, that the amending motion would be we waive the timeline based on the findings before us on the gate, but not on the park, the passive park.
All right. Is there a second to that amending motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Mercurimi and a second by Commissioner Schellenberger to support the amendment, which would waive the timeline with regard to the gate. And we've got some other speakers, but that's the motion that's on the floor now. And then we have comments from staff. Commissioner Wan? Did you want to speak to the amending motion? I think you did.
I did.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and I agree with Commissioner Schellenberger in terms of process here. I think it's very important that we not say, okay, whatever the reason is, even if you've got two issues here, that, again, that because you didn't like what the commission decided, that you can simply seek to come back immediately.
All right. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Secord?
I think I do, in fact, agree with Commissioner Bloom, who felt that having two hearings on the same subject was costly.
Right.
And it strikes me that voting no on the amending motion would bring them together again, which is where they should be, I think.
All
so
right.
I would favor that.
Okay, Commissioner Bloom?
Just a quick point of order on this. Who votes? Is this the same group that voted before or the entire commission?
No, this is anybody.
Yeah, this is anybody. This is open. Commissioner Parker?
Okay. Seems to me that
this is open to anybody.
I can't hear.
the criteria that, if I recall correctly, and I did go back and read the documents, that the two issues themselves were not in the staff report of discussion before. And I would think that the applicant and the city of Malibu should have been given the opportunity during the hearing to address those issues, have been prepared to do so, and they were not. And I think the hearing was closed.
We'll let the staff respond to that, but go ahead, Commissioner Parker.
Well, I think the hearing itself, effectively itself, was closed. And I went back and looked at who all was asked, and people were asked to come up. I don't think it would be totally inconsistent with the rules of just due process of fair play in order to give them an opportunity to address an issue. We don't have to agree with them. We certainly don't have to vote for them. But I think we would be doing is opening up a door itself of someone saying that they did not have an opportunity to discuss something that basically was not presented. Now, this is my opinion to the extent itself that of an amended motion. But some degree itself of certainty should have been there. But that's what I would think. And to have those two issues, to allow someone 2 or 3 minutes to come back and address them, and the commission to vote on them would not certainly be out of place. But I would think the rules itself are fair play, along with what Dr. Secord and Mr. Bloom would say. So therefore, I would not support the amended motion.
All right. Commissioner Wan, and then we'll go to staff.
If I remember correctly, Joyce Parker from the city. Joyce Parker from the city specifically came up and said that she didn't agree with Commissioner Schallenberger's attempt to amend and deal with the passivity. So the city did, in fact, get a chance to come up and speak. Go check the transcript. She did come up and talk about it.
I don't want to disagree with you, Ms. Wan, but I can read directly what she stated. She said, I can't make that decision. That's a decision that is reserved until the city council. It is not for me as a staff person to make that decision. And I don't consider that as an opportunity itself, that the city itself had a reasonable opportunity to respond through its representative. When she says, someone asked her the question, and she says, it's not my decision to make. That's a decision that is reserved unto the city council.
All right. Thank you, sir. Commissioner Blank.
Yeah, I just want to briefly say I agree exactly with Commissioner Parker, and I will not be supporting the amendment.
All right. Staff.
Yes. Madam Chair, I neglected to mention that very specific point that Commissioner Parker raised, which was brought to my attention after the Commission acted, although Ms. Parker did speak to that issue by referring to the previous staff person from the city as having misspoken on that. But their position was that they were not given an opportunity to adequately address that particular issue. Now, the Commission often makes suggested modifications, and we make changes, and that doesn't open up the public hearing. It's really up to the chair to decide whether you're going to take additional testimony, and if other commissioners want to hear what the applicant or the other party thinks about a particular change, they can certainly do so. But that is an issue I forgot to mention earlier when I made my comments. So I've now corrected the error of my ways.
Okay, we have an amending motion on the floor. And I'm going to ask the clerk to please call the roll on the amending motion.
Commissioner Blank.
No.
Blank, no. Commissioner Bloom.
No.
Bloom, no. Commissioner Parker.
No.
Parker, no. Commissioner Secord.
No.
Secord, no. Commissioner Mercurimi.
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Sanchez.
Yes.
Sanchez, yes. Commissioner Schallenberger.
Yes.
Schallenberger, yes. Commissioner Stone.
Yes.
Stone, yes. Commissioner Wan.
Yes.
Wan, yes. Commissioner Arshajian.
No.
Arshajian, no. Chair Neely.
No.
Chair Neely, no. The vote is 5-6.
All right. The motion fails. And back to the full motion. Could you please call the roll?
Commissioner Bloom.
Yes.
Bloom, yes. Commissioner Parker.
Yes.
Parker, yes. Commissioner Secord.
Yes.
Secord, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi?
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Sanchez?
No.
Sanchez, no. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yes.
Schellenberger, yes. Commissioner Stone?
Yes.
Stone, yes. Commissioner Wan?
No.
Wan, no. Commissioner Ashajian?
Yes.
Ashajian, yes. Commissioner Blank?
Yes.
Blank, yes. Chair Neely?
Yes.
Chair Neely, yes. The vote is 9-2.
All right, so the waiver is granted. Come back within the six-month time frame. All right. Anything else before the commission?
No, I think that's it. I would, again, in advance, express our appreciation to the County of Santa Cruz for making their facilities available to us again next month. Unfortunately, or fortunately, we were not able to secure meeting space in Marin or San Francisco. So we'll be in Santa Cruz next month, and we don't know what the length of the agenda is going to be, but Commissioner Stone's trying to arrange a boat trip for us there. Hopefully we'll be able to work that out, and Commissioner Blank has offered to have a dinner reception at his house if we have time. So we'll let you know as soon as we figure out what the agenda looks like.
All right. Thanks,
everyone.
See you next month. For being here, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.